First, sorry I was not able to get Rebelski here last week. He had a bris in Los Angeles. He said it would be difficult for him to Nicole's bris in Los Angeles. I'm still hoping to get him here to hear some goodies about the way Hasherim work and the way they're supposed to work. And we'll see. Tapes off, you make it a better shear. We learned Kuf Gimel Sif Aleph and Beis. We're up to Sif Gimel. Actually, Simen Kuf Gimel has two halves. Sif Aleph through Dalet, although we ran out of time before we finished the end of Dalet. Sif Aleph through Dalet are the halachis, nice and tam lefgam, things that give a bad taste. And then from Sif Hei to the end of the Simen are the dinim of Kelim Shena B'nei Yayman, which is the second aspect of nice and tam lefgam. Sif Gimel and Dalet are just going to round out the first part, the din of things that give a bad taste. Sif Gimel afila ein kayach be'isa levadai lifkaim ela al yedei davarachish ha-misayayay. Even if this heter and issa themselves would not have a bad taste, it's only through some other reason that it has a bad taste. Kegon shenofel issa l'kadeira sheish ba-melechai tavla meduchin. Merubin, that it has it, instead of meduchin, the word there meduchin should be merubin. The Gra on Yudalid tzarchleim and merubin. So it means that there's too much salt or too much spice in the mixture. Vilmalei hamelach v'tavlin shaba lo yayakayach be'isa lifkayim, and were not for the abundance of salt or spices, it would not be pogim. Afilo hachi moter. So here we have a heter. If something is oversalted or overspiced, that causes the mixture to be pagim, that itself is a heter. Now the lashon is mashma that beforehand it's also not such a good taste, but it wouldn't be pagim. The Badei HaShulchan, he says that the Yerushalayim, it's clear that you can't just take tray for food and throw in too much salt and make it kosher. It's still not going to taste good, but it doesn't become kosher because you threw in too much salt. He says that it means that the abundance of salt together with this particular mixture causes it to have a bad taste. Svara, he doesn't explain why it should be that way. As far as it's a little hard to understand why it should be that way, but the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is mashma that way. It says afilu ein kayach be'isa levadei lifkaim ela al yedei davarach. Yisra itself wouldn't be pagan, but it is pagan together with the fact that it has too much salt or too much spices. Right. Right. Now, if you put chocolate syrup into tuna fish, that's pagan by itself. That itself has a bad taste, and you don't need too much salt for it to have a bad taste. But if you have a mixture by itself, it's not pagan. But the salt brings out the taste in a way that makes it worse. That would be something that's pagan, and I cannot think of an example of that.
Amazing.
What?
The sap
is pretty amazing. The shach says reverse as well. Shach. Yud Beis, who had an ipcha, kshu pagim ibnei she'ain shom elachay tavlin. He says that if it's pagim because it's not adequately spiced or salted, vilu ha yisham elachay tavlin karoi lo yoya pagim, mutter, kim da hashtami ya pagim. What?
No salt added. Anything.
No salt added, yeah, pretzels.
Depends for who.
Pretzels with no salt, I don't understand.
If you add the salt to make it taste good.
Yeah, you can't become mutter.
No, it's mutter
now. Right, let's say right now it's mutter, either because it has too much salt or too little salt. So you say, great, it's mutter. So now I'll just salt it and eat it. So now you're going to salt it and eat it, you're going to have a problem because now it's going to be pogum ul b'seifish biach, which at the end of the Mechaber, the end of Sif Bey, said that pogum ul b'seifish biach asim. Rabbi Kiva Ege here has a very nice chab. He says a way to make it mutter. He says, what you have to do, let's say I have a mixture of 2%, 10% iser and 90% heter. So it's 1 in 10, it's not vatal. But because I didn't salt it, it has a bad taste. So he says, quick, if you're going to salt it now, you're going to mess up. Because now you're going to salt it, the 10% is going to taste good, and it'll only be 1 in 10. What you have to do is quickly add, not do it quickly, but before you add the salt, while it's pogum, add more heter. So instead of being 1 to 10, it'll be less than a 60th. And then salt it. Once, so you'd be about to the heter before it turns seis. That's Rabbi Akiva Eger's chat. That you're about to the before it comes. What?
Never became
an issue.
So. Anything that is sweet and salty food is a problem.
If you don't like the taste, I don't know how this works, because sometimes you have certain tastes that certain people like and certain people don't like. I don't know how pogum works. Pogum has to be that it's pogum, not to an individual, of course. I say pogum to most people, and I don't know. There's some foods that certain cultures eat and certain cultures don't eat. I don't know, but I don't think as a practical matter this is. So Negeya, the next Sif Dalid, Shemen Udvash, Shal Oivik Echavim. If you buy oil or honey from a guy, Afal P, Shem of Ushalim, even though the guy cooked it. Now we're talking in ancient times where the problems of treifis were mostly for meat. What's treif? Anything across from the ground is kosher, except for Yayin Esach. And it grows from the ground is kosher. And basically, treifus comes from animals, from nevela. That's basically the source of all treifus. So, in their simpler world, if you bought oil from a guy, what were you afraid of? Even the guy cooked it. From the Gemara, it seems that basar into oil. Well, basar into honey gives a bad taste. And memela, even, what are you afraid? The guy cooked it with meat. There's no problem because it gives a bad taste anyhow. That the Gemara never said that meat gives a bad taste into honey. The Gemara is talking about mashke hanasim edvash, some type of drink that's made from it. Malcolm Shane Hefson, God will yesh lahachmer. Basar oi. Now there's a question if that is cholav or chelav. Basar oi. Let's say chelav biayin have a lepkam umutim. Wine and meat. Wine does not give a good taste in meat. And I think today, am I correct? They cook wine with meat. So maybe it means in the wine. Basar chelav biayin have a lepkam. The wine, when it gets a taste of meat. That would ask him.
I mean, when it gets a taste of meat, it's no good.
So maybe it means when the basar goes into the wine, that the wine does not have a good taste when it gets a bliya of basar. I don't know. Now, oy chalav ochelav, the question is how to read that word. So the Pesachei Tshuva brings a machlaikis. The Noid Yehuda said it means chalav. Prima Gadim said it means chalav. The Beis Yehuda says it's both. So, and I don't know how do you? I would picture that milk and wine don't go together very well, and I never tasted it, but I would imagine they don't go together too well. And it's one of these sifim that you know you learn, and I don't know if it ever comes up. You have to look it up. It was like I mentioned here on Shabbos, the Shaila. Somebody, you know, there's a sifim Shulchan Aruch. It's in Hilchos Shabbos. That talks about whether a prisoner is allowed to go out with handcuffs and chains on Shabbos, whether it's carrying. So it's the type of thing you just learn, you go vaita, you know, you never think it's going to happen. And then it actually happened that somebody had a shiloh, you know, a brother put handcuffs on his sister, and they're playing in the house, and they realize they don't have a key. And they wanted to know if the girl could go wearing the handcuffs to someone else's house to get it opened. So you think that, you know... where am I going to find this? And it's a very specific Shulchan Aruch. So this also, someday, somebody will have a shaila about milk and meat, milk and, sorry, and wine. But the vayla, you put it aside. Why aren't we afraid that fish was cooked with the oil? I don't know. It's a good question. And I don't know what the metzius was that the Shulchan Aruch is referring to. So it's hard for me. It's hard for me to say. I don't know.
These things change.
It definitely changes according to the taste of the time. There's no question that if these are any umdina and shas, we assume is true. Unless if we see it's different, then we don't assume it's true. There are many umdinas and shas that things that have changed. Certain things are questionable; they change, but. There's no question. The Shas, it says that when you rent an apartment stama, you don't have to pay rent till the end of the month. Because stam, schiris, is einem shtalem esel ala b'saif. In New York, it's not that way. I think most of the world today, people pay rent at the beginning of the month. Falafai, you know, that they should pay, but they pay at the beginning of the month, and the stam rental is different. There's no, when we know that it's different, then it's different. The whole list of things that are... telling in this. Alright, basically, we're ready to start the second half of the Sif, the Simen, which is Sif Hei. There is, however, one Chavis Das here of interest, which will come up when we talk about the most common household Shilas nowadays, which is very few people call with Treifus Shilas in the house. Sometimes they call, they bought things that didn't have a Hechsher. They thought it had a Hechsher. But, which, agav, I should mention, just as an aside, the Gush Katif lettuce, if anybody knows where it comes from, the lettuce they have this year has a totally new hechsherim that I don't recognize. And it may have to do with Shemitah, I don't know. I was at a meeting last week. All right. If you know a place where I can get the information directly, I would like to. I was at a meeting of... Rabbi Heinemann was there, and some other Hechsherim were there. Nobody understood where, what the Hechsherim are. I mean, my wife also, she just bought Alei Katif. You buy Alei Katif. And then I looked at it closely. Actually, a lady brought it to my house. And I didn't look at it closely. So the woman brought a package to my house, and I looked at it, and it's the same package with totally different names. Anyway, what I wanted to say, the most common shaila in houses, in homes, is when milk spoons are put into a part of a food cooking in flesh, or sometimes in flesh. Now that's the most common type of shaila. The Chavis Das here brings an interesting shaila as follows. We know that if somebody is cooking vegetables in a fleshiga ben yaymai, and someone takes a milchika spoon that's a ben yaymai and puts it in and stirs, that everything becomes asur. The bli abasa b'cholov is nesarev. There's no din of nat bar nat. Nat bar nat is if you cook something parav in a fleshiga pat and then you take it out. But as long as it's cooking, we know that if you put a ben yaymai milchika spoon into a fleshiga ben yaymai pat, that there's no question that it becomes asur. The question is the science of it, how exactly the basar and chalav mix before they become a naparnat. Right, when the basar goes into the vegetables, it's a naparnat. They won't ask him anything. Same thing, the chalav won't ask. Right, if you cook vegetables in a fleshiga pat, or spaghetti in a fleshiga pat, and then later you take it out, and you mix cottage cheese into it, it doesn't become asr. It's a naparnat. Chatchila, we don't put in cottage cheese, but if you did, it's mutter. And yet, well, I'm talking all b'nei yayman. Yet, if it's in the pot at the time that you stir it, it does become asa. That's beferish in the Gemara. There's no question. Question is, what's the explanation of it? So we understand either the explanation is that the bli is mixed before they dispatch it, before they spread, that the meat and milk are going to meet in the pot before they spread, or perhaps that the that the spoon hits the pot, it's nagabi kadeira, and therefore these are both reasons found in the Rishayna, and that's not aparna. The mashayla here, that's a machlekes, the Chavis Das and the Yehuda, is if somebody was cooking wine in a fleshiger pot, which we say that basar is nice and tamil fgam b'yayin. Someone's cooking wine, kosher good wine in a kosher fleshiger pot, and then they stirred it with a milchika spoon. What happens now? Do we say that it's aser, or do we say that it's mutter, the wine? The Noida Behuda says that it's aser, because the whole reason that we aser a fleshiger spoon, a milchika spoon, a fleshiger pot, is because the blias on the sariv independent of the whatever it is that's in the pot. So you're also the blias on the sariv, there is sir, and once it's iser, it asses the ayin. The Chavistas disagrees, and he says, and now I'm not talking about the wine being asser, I'm talking about the pot being asser. The fleshiger pot will now have blias of milk which went in directly. The Chavistas disagrees. He says that the fleshiger pot doesn't become asr. Not possible to if the contents of the pot should be amutter, and the wine is mutter, because the basar is pagim in it, and according to some, even the chalav is pagim. So the wine is going to be mutter, because it's pagim. Chavistas says it cannot be that the contents of the pot are mutter, and the pot itself becomes asr. How could that be? Even if you're going to say it touches the wall. So he holds that it's considered mekusher to the contents of the pot, touches the wall together with the contents, and the blias go in together, and that therefore, therefore the pot would be mutter. Now, I hope I'm being clear. Okay, the shaila again is when you there are two parts of the shaila. There's a specific case they argue about, and then there's the general overview of the way they're looking at it. The specific case they're talking about, I don't think would come up in a home that often. You're cooking something that's pagan with basar, you're cooking wine in a fleshiger pot, stir it with a milchika spoon, the wine is going to be mutter, because basar is nice and tam lefgam in the wine, so there's nothing that'll become asar in the wine. And the question is, could the blias of milk go straight into the pot, not with the emtsah sayayin, so the Behuda asses the pot, and the Chavistas is not to the pot.
It's very positive.
But the Noida Behuda holds that it could go indirectly. That the blias either meet directly or go indirectly without it.
Very pagam.
You can't kasha something treif by being pagam. If you have a pot of.
When I put the yayin into the meat pot, it's pagam, the meat and the wine.
But it doesn't make pagam the blias that are in the pot.
Why not?
Can you take a pot, let's say I have a pot of a treif of pot from Bas Nevela. To kasher it, I'll just cook some wine. It'll be pagim. We don't kasher by being pagim.
What happened first?
What did they do in the hotel?
When they kids? No. They kasher through hagala.
They're pagim.
And they're pagim only. They do a full hagala. Just the fact that it's a ben yoima, he's just going to come out and go back. So for that, they're pagim the liquid. But then you're not pagim a blia in a keli. Right, we're not bekiim when blia is going kalim when they don't. We know sometimes they go in, sometimes they don't. We have no bikkias in how they go in, they don't. You can't take a pot, bus a pot, and kasher it by cooking bleach in it, or by cooking wine in it. You can't kasher a pot that way. When I mentioned to you that in the hotels, they put bleach in, that's when they do hagola. They're bringing it to a boil. They're kashering it. The problem is that when you're doing the hagolah on a ben yaimai, the bliya goes into the water, and then it comes back. So for that, you're piking the water, so it can't ask the things back. But you can't kasha something through being piking. Now, here, the machlokes, the Chavistas, and the Noida Behuda is, in the lumdis of how this chiddush of Chazal, that if you put a milk spoon in a fleshig of ben yaimai pot when parva things are cooking, that the blias and the keli become treif. How does that work? Is it, as the Noida Behuda understands, that they are direct blias from the milk into the meat, which are the meat blias which are in the pot, or as the Chavistas understands, that it always goes through the medium of whatever is in the pot? It's just not nispasha, that should come in the pot, but it's still goes through the medium, and if it goes through that medium, then if that medium is pagan, that's the machlaikis. Now that's really Simit Tzadik Beis, Tochav Kaf Bikdei Rishol Cholov. It's really part of Hilchas Possible Cholov. It's not Hilchas Taruvis. And that's why we have not yet learned these halachis. But nevertheless, the machlaikis is here in the case of the Yayin.
But for the medium of the Yayin, there would be no transfer between the
clay without the... Well, you're right, it doesn't go. That's right. It really wouldn't travel without the liquid. And that's, I guess, the Chavis Das's argument that it's Bakusha. And it's not that way. The Yudah holds that Lamaisa. I believe so.
It may not be the key in how Blias work, but we know that when you cook something in a pot, the pot absorbs Blias. So when I cook the onion first, if you say I cook it all together, I heat it up with the spoon inside, so then you could say that it happened one time, you could say it happened two steps. So over here, why
should it not happen? No, you can't make a pot kosher by cooking something pagan in it. There's no such thing that you're going to take a nevela pot.
Well, yeah.
You don't want a kosher.
Sense,
because we don't know that the ayin goes in, and we know how much goes in. Could be nothing goes in. Could be something goes in. We don't see the taste. We call the chumra, and it's funny, we don't even consider it a suffix. If it's going to ask. Okay, let's start the second half of the siman. What? Cooking. All right, Sif Hay is the second half of the siman. It's the primary kula of Rabbanim and Shilas that come up, because most of the time the Shilas that come over the phone are Bas B'Cholav Shilas, and usually something is Eina Ben Yaymai, either a Bas or a Cholav, and therefore it's usually okay. Kol Kedera, the Sif itself should be simple enough. Kol Kedera She'ena Bas Yaymai Chashiva Taim Alifkam Veinai Seres Akeli Eina Ben Yaymai doesn't ask. So what does Eina Ben Yaymai mean? And you should know it's a machlekes in the Gemara. Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam both say that an einai ben yaimai is when it waits overnight. Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam hold you don't need 24 hours. That all you need is overnight from sunset to alois. The Prima Gadim says it doesn't matter. It's overnight. No matter how long the night is, that's Shitas Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. That it becomes an einai ben yaimai after waiting overnight. The sheet of all the other Rishayim is that it takes 24 hours, and that's why it's Margul of Bapumei that we always talk about the fact that it takes 24 hours. Rashi Rabbeinu Tam Shita will come up in Siv Zayin, at the end of the Simen, where we're going to discuss, hopefully we'll still get to it today, where we'll discuss their Shita. Here, the Mechaber says, V'nikras Bas Yayma, and what's called the Ben Yayimai? Calls a man shalai shasa may eslais. Any time that it did not wait 24 hours, achash in this bashul boha iser. After the iser was cooked, it's totally in 24 hours. And the kimish avala may eslais achash in this bashul boha iser ain't in the kras bas yayma. Then it's not called ben yayma even bishul bok sheina bas yayma hatafshul muta to have a nice and tamlus gam. Now these 6-7 lines, you'll notice there's nothing on it. There's no shach, no taz, no mefarshim. It's a very simple din, and very little to comment on it. And nevertheless, we're going to try to discuss to explain it. Just first the Shulchan Aruch brings a second machlaikis. Where if the keli has to be washed off, if the keli has residual be'en on it, does that also become pogum in 24 hours? So there's a machlokes. Who shetia mudachas? Shalai yeshuman al paneha. There should be no residual fats. Shemlai hidicha. If there's fats, food doesn't become pogum. Varihi kechaticha sisu shalai nifkama. V'yesh matirin afilu b'shul b'kadim shadicha. And there is a yesh mekilim that hold that if there's be'en left on it, the be'en is also pogum. But we passed like the first shita the ben, we never heard of such a thing that ben should be called pogum. The Ramah adds in Yeshishim Negem Ashadavakalav Lukuliyal Mashari Miachek Derei Nebasiyai Mevachinog. Usually the residual fats are bottled b'shishim if you cook something else in it. So therefore, that would be. Right.
The,
I've never heard anyone using as a tziruf the siyesh aimrim that the be'en also becomes ena ben yaimai. I don't know, maybe I just missed it, but I've never heard of it being used as a tziruf. I mean, there could be cases where it's a suffix shishim, maybe it would be a tziruf. But okay.
What if
now,
it's not being cooked in it, which are not? There's is in it, and then the is taken off, but people are cooking other things in it meanwhile.
Oh, so that's if Zion, if it refreshes the 24 hours. And if Zion, we're going to get to it. The very major problem in many plants where you have an issue, we'll get to it by Riches and Zion, but just the nutshell of it is this. If they're cooking treifus, so you wait 24 hours, there's no problem. Most kashering is done in plants on a Monday morning because they wait 24 hours. If they cook something treif on Sunday, and you want to kosher on Tuesday, you say, okay, Monday we'll do a kosher, we'll do a kosher run, meaning a run of things that don't have any treif ingredients. Okay, let's say you have a jelly plant, they make jam. Well, the jams pretty much are kosher, and they have the lemon meringue is a problematic thing because it's made with eggs, and not all the egg plants are kosher. So let's say they made lemon meringue jam on Sunday, and you want to come into kasher on Wednesday. So you tell them, listen, the whole 24 hours before I come in, don't use your machinery. They say, what? I'm not going to use my machinery. I say, okay, so at least use it only for kosher stuff. That's going to be a problem, because we, the Ramah, paskin chaticha nafin avela. That means that if they cook the treifus on Sunday, now Monday they're going to cook raspberry jam, which is all kosher. The blias, which are now within 24 hours, go into the raspberry and make a treif, and then they go back into the keli. And vaita, the keli is now. You need to do 24 hours, and say they are Tuesday, same thing on Wednesday. But this is a major problem. You know, out of town places where they give hechsherim on a bakery. Let's say out of town, and the bakery is open on Shabbos. Now, if it's goyim on Shabbos, it's not a problem. As long as all the ingredients are kosher, it's no problem. However, if it's a Jewish bakery, and the Jew is going to bake on Shabbos, it asks the kalim. When a yid bakes on Shabbos, the bleed not only is the food asur, but it asks the kalim as well. So you say, okay, we'll wait 24 hours from when you bake. You finish baking Shabbos at 12 o'clock, so we're only going to give a hechsher from what's baked Sunday after 12. That's no good. Because when they bake Sunday morning, vaita, the blia comes into the new food, and it goes back into the keli, and it becomes again a ben yaimai. So this is a problem, particularly with Shabbos, when it's a Jewish place. When it's a Goyishik place, there's no knas. But what? Kalim are also from Blias and Shabbos.
From a guy
it's not also. Guy's allowed to cook. Bishalakum. Bishalakum, you rely either pilot hatter or other hatterim. Now, we're going to return to this discussion in Siv Zion, where we're going to see the possible Eitzim. But right now, we're talking about the rule of Eina Ben Yaibe being Mutter, and there's an added knech to this. Tosfos says that we have a rule, Stam Kalim Eina Ben Yaiman. The Gemara says we have a rule, Stam Kalim Eina Ben Yaiman. That means if you go to your Gaisha neighbor, and the Gaisha neighbor cooks, put up some water for a tea for you, or cooks spaghetti, which you know is kosher, and they invite you in, assuming there's no Bishul Akum issues, they put up something for you, and it goes against your God, you know, it's a tray for pat. They're cooking a tray for pat. The halacha is that Stam Kalim ain't a ben yaiman. Stam Kalim of a guy you could assume are not a ben yaimai, and whatever is cooked there is not osir. Whatever is cooked there is, once it's cooked, it's 100% mutal chadchila.
Except for knives, right?
And except for a few things, knives and double charev. But stam things that are cooked in pot, stam kalim and ebne yaiman, and it's mutter. And it's mutter.
So we can drink tin coffee at a Goyish neighbor's
house. At a Goyish neighbor's house, if they put up water for you, you can take it.
Into a,
yeah.
Into a,
It's a No, a hotel would be a place where you know they're constantly cooking with that. Or let's say you want to go, I know that the Veld Paskins that you're allowed to buy a coffee in all these coffee shops. I know that. I don't understand because they're unflavored coffees which are not kosher. And without a heksher, I don't know how you could assume that they segregate the flavored and unflavored coffees. I don't understand it. And
never, if you go into a coffee shop, it's ideas about this. The unflavored are never mixed with the flavored.
I'm not talking about the
pots.
The pots are never mixed.
That ruins the time, the residue.
I'm sorry, I disagree with you. I don't think so. We have in our house flavored teas, and we make sense with it. And it never dawned on anyone, that if you use the flavor teas, a different flavor tea in different kalim, that it's going to be pagan. It's going to ruin it. I'm not a connoisseur, I know. And the people, and the guys who go to these greasy joints are all. I just don't understand it. There are places that don't have flavored coffees. And it could be that you could be Seimach on those places. Which places don't have flavored coffees? Basically, only if you go on an airplane. So I don't know. They serve flavored coffees.
They have these urns where they have coffee, tea, and they have an urn with just hot water. And you want to take some breakfast, and they have separate tea bags. Hot water will be a problem.
I don't believe hot water is a problem. If they have a machine that's only hot water.
That's not a machine. They have urns.
An urn. Pure hot water urn.
Correct, but it could be that urn was previously used for coffee. So the question is,
I don't know. Are the same urns used to for press percolators that I used as hot water urns? I don't know what it is. But I don't know. I can't answer you. I don't know what exactly. Saimachan? Maybe there's something to be Saimachan I'm not aware of. I don't know.
Starbucks. I received this week a series of emails on Starbucks. People questioning whether it's kosher or not. But
because no hechsher, you mean?
But no, it turns out most of the stuff does. People weren't aware that OU is under almost all the products they have there. I mean, you have to investigate each one, but it seems that they do segregate things there. And he's a fairly.
To trust people to segregate things without a hechsher is not. All right. That's Gal. What? Yes. If you're using. In the rooms. If you have coffee makers in the rooms, could you assume that it was used kosher before?
Or that it's Ein Ben Yoyim?
It's interesting
if
in
it's
the. The coffee they offer has a hechsher.
Yeah. Doesn't
matter. I know. In the.
You assume a pot in their house moves every day to wash this person is not in grocery.
It's an interesting thing. They have these coffee machines in the halls, the catering halls, like in El Carib. They have a coffee machine, which is a coffee machine that gives out the pitchers of coffee from it. You don't make a cup at a time. The coffee machine is made by a certain company that gives the place the machine, and it's designed that it only uses their inserts. They shape it and they could make the tube in a way that you have to use theirs. So there, when they kasher. Somebody in Shul made a wedding there this week in El Karib, and we were giving the hechsher on the caterer. So I went down to see the kitchen, the way the kashering is done. And Grada was done very well because they kashered very little. He brought in almost everything of his own. And the coffee machine they use because they rely that. They showed me that the company is has a hechsher. I don't remember which hechsher, and the machine is made in a way that you have to use their inserts in the machine, And this, now I don't doubt that some type of generic company could do it as well. But I don't think, first of all, we went into the storage area and they had piles of the stuff with a Hechsher. We assumed that that's what they use all the time. And also with coffee, I don't think people run to generic brands when you have a hall. I think we can assume that they're using it. If you go to a roadside stop that has coffee machines, and the coffee machines, again, I'm not familiar with them, but if the coffee machines are a kosher brand and it's made, it's not a regular percolator, it's just made with in this type of a manner, that it's a machine that's made specially that way, it would make sense that a person could be makel. But stamazai, the old-fashioned coffee dispensing machines, the chlal are a problem because the same machine pieces are used for soups and for other things, the spouts. But I haven't seen those around. Now they have special coffee machines. I don't know. I'm very uncomfortable with it. Hot water. It's a lot easier to be makel on hot water than. Than anything else.
What about that machine? They have the I don't know what they call them.
The percolator.
What you make the coffee in, the
carafe.
The
paraffin.
What do they call it? It's a glass thing, and then sort of thing.
Correct.
It's just for coffee.
The question in my mind is if they make flavored coffees as well.
No, it's just not a...
You go in every day, they have one thing, yeah, a plain coffee cooking, and no flavored coffee. So I can understand to be makel. The question then only becomes if when they wash it, it becomes treif. That's the question. There was a big tumult many years ago about the airlines, about using coffee on the airplanes, whether the core airplanes don't have flavored coffees, at least the last I heard, and plain coffee is kosher. And the question is, when they put it through their dishwasher, whether there's any chashash, any type of chashash on the dishwasher. So there, they have soap, but the rinse cycle is without soap. That's what the shiva is about. Yeah, but they have a cycle without soap. That's the question. The first cycle is a rinse cycle without soap. So I don't... I don't say I flew with Rebelsky. Rebelsky, I know, drinks coffee on the airplane. He holds that it's not that the way it's washed is not an issue. For whatever the explanation is, if it's Hashem, you could ask him. I hope still to get him here to talk about these things. We'll ask him about the flavor coffees too. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure what he's going to say. But I personally am machmir to be chayshish for bishalakum. On coffee, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says it's time lahachmir. We had the Pischei Tshuva, Chaluke Deis. So I'm not. It's easy for me to be machmir. I'm not addicted to coffee as some of you are. And I usually drink at least two cups a week, usually on Thursday nights. And so I'm not addicted to coffee. So it's easy for me to be machmir. When I fly, if I want to have a coffee, I take along a pouch. They sell these individual things of coffee, and I ask for some hot water, and then I can put in the coffee myself. And then at the bishlakim, the water is not a problem. It's a shot with the coffee, so that's. But I don't know. Okay, Levasi Alayra. I think this is going to ruin our getting to Sifzai. Let's get back to the Shul Mechaber. Lomdis of Sifhei. We're getting sidetracked. Sifhei. Kedera she'ena ben yaymai doesn't ask it. Nevertheless, to cook in a kedera she'ena ben yaymai lechatchila is also, as Rabbi Kivega brings on the bottom, on the first page of Sifhei, on the bottom, he says in Bishul Bak she'ena ben yaymai, aber lechatchila also levashel kein. Lechatchila, you're not allowed to cook in a ben yaymai. And not only that, afin bishul bakli rak safik is simid rabbana. Even if they cooked or something that was only an Issa Drabbana, and only a Suffolk Issa Drabbana, you still are not allowed to rely, if when it was a Ben Yayma, it was Aser, because as we said before, Aser. So then, making it Aina Ben Yayma, well, guys, Aina Ben Yayma, Otto Ben Yayma, and it's an Issa Chamor, that they are, it's not a Tziruf to be Mekel. Something which, when it's a Ben Yayma, is Aser, Aina Ben Yayma is still Aser. And there we have the big rule of the Malbach that a shaila of a drabbanon that's nigrar from a shayla v'na daraisa, you go according to the original iser. In other words, if when it's a ben yaymai, the psak is that it's aser, it's oiske paskin. And then we're guys ena ben yaymai atu ben yaymai. And we don't say when it's an ena ben yaymai, it's more cooler. So ena ben yaymai, suddenly we can be megal. No, we're guys ena ben yaymai atu ben yaymai. Now, there are two issues here that are the major issues in ena ben yaymai. One issue is, what is the iser of Eina ben Yaymai? We know the food is mutter. So is the iser a maisa iser? In other words, is a maisa iser to cook in Eina ben Yaymai? It has nothing to do with the food. Food in Eina ben Yaymai is okay. So a person could learn that the iser is an iser on the maisa. You're not allowed to cook in an Eina ben Yaymai. Or you could learn that no, l'chatchila, we treat an Eina ben Yaymai like a ben Yaymai. And if you're going to cook in Eina ben Yaymai l'chatchila, then it's an Isser on the Eichel. It's an Isser on the food. Nafkamina is, now for a Yid to do it, there's no Shaila. A Yid can't cook. And if a Yid cooks deliberately, then it's Avad Aser. But the Shaila is if a guy wants to cook. Let's say, if a Yid hires a guy to cook for him, says Beferish and Kufchav Beis, that's called the Jew cooked. If a Jew hires Goyim to cook for him in his plant, that's called a Yid cooked, and that's Beferish and Kufchav Beis. The Shaila is, Goyim own a company, Goyim own a jelly company, or a potato chip company, or whatever type of company it is, and they call in a rabbi to give a Hechsher. So the rabbi comes in, and he sees that, look, they make a run of tomato sauce and beef, that's treif. So I'm not giving you a heksher on the tomato sauce or beef. But now they want to do plain tomato sauce with my heksher. So could I tell them, look, on Monday, the first thing in the morning, it's Eina ben Yaymai. Cook the tomato sauce Monday morning, and I'll give you a heksher. Because that's kosher. It's Eina ben Yaymai. What's the iser? The iser is that there's an issue to cook in Eina ben Yaymai to Eina ben Yaymai. A guy is not mitzvah in issue of cooking. The guy is asking me to give a hechsher once it's made. Once it's made, it's mutter. So this is the shayla that Hechsherim posed to Rav Moshe yet back in the 50s about a standard for how to give hechsherim. Rav Moshe in his tshuva, which is I believe in the first chelik of Yerideya, Rav Moshe writes that the second chelik yaradeh, Simon Mem Aleph, he writes the following two rules. He says, what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that if a Yid hires a guy to cook for him, it's like the Yid is cooking. Hu hadin, if a guy is cooking for Jews, if the guy's product is aimed primarily at Jews, right, for what he sells is aimed at Jews, depends what he's making, obviously. If it's aimed at a Jewish consumer, that's called that the Jew got the guy to cook for him, and that's also Mikra Adin. That is in this Eina ben Yaymai Atu ben Yaymai, and if he does lechatchila, we ask for the food. If, however, he's cooking mostly for Goyim, Heinz makes tomato sauce mostly for Goyim. If he's making mostly for Goyim, see, Rambaisha writes that Pishuras Hadin, it's mutter. If the guy would ask Rambaisha Shaila, am I allowed to cook in a keli ena ben yaymai for Goyim? So Rashi would tell him, you can even cook in a ben yaymai. So you can certainly cook in a ben yaymai. The guy's allowed to do it. Once the guy did it, the fact is that it's kosher for a Jew. So Rashi says, Mi'ikar Adin, it's good, but he writes that it's mechur adavar, is his lashon, to give a heksher on things that are made in treif kelim. And therefore, if Rashi instituted this geder, that lemaisa, you have to kasher, and if you don't kasher, you can't give a hechsher. And that's the way the good hechsherim have accepted that they kasher. The nafkamina, though, is there are certain types of ways of kashering which are shailas. Kashering with steam, for example, which is a shaila. So here, where the whole thing is because of mechor adav, you can kasher with a shita that's good. If it's good according to right shitas, it's good enough. You know, you don't have to be able to call a shita.
One run.
We lechatchila we only kasha with water. There's machlokes rishayim, you could kasha with other products, and we always kasha with water. The only time that they rely on kashering with something else is with chocolate. Is the issue with chocolate because of I don't understand the way it's been explained to me. I don't understand the science of it, but it's very interesting to hear Rabelsky explain how the chocolate machines work. It's very fascinating. But what? When you go to your neighbor's house, when he cooks hot water for you. Yeah. So this is issue number one. If Eina B'nei Yaiman is an Issa on the Maisa, or it's Issa on the Eichel, and it's for practical matters, we nemon that it's an Issa on the Eichel as well. There's a second issue with Kederish Eina B'nei Yaiman. Gave you me. It was a second practical issue. Let me just pretend I'm davening Shemoneh Esrei. I don't remember any of this. Again, the Eina B'nei Yaiman. All right, we'll see. Let's go on. I'll remember the second issue momentarily. Okay, so basically, the second issue is the issue of Yud Beis Chaydish, of whether waiting Yud Beis Chaydish makes a keli. The Chacham Tzvi, it's a famous heter, is matir waiting Yud Beis Chaydish. We discussed this when we were doing Dav Shesha Matirin. We said some of Dav Shesha Matirin because you could kasher it. Anyway, there we discussed this briefly. Basically, the bottom line is that we don't pass that to Chacham Tzvi straight out. That waiting 12 months is a heter. We use it as a tziruf. Ramesha has three or four tshuvas in which he's mekel in the following cases. He's mekel, first of all, for takonas hashavim, for about tshuva, a family that's changing the house over to be kosher. He's mekel for them to be samech on Yud Beis Chaydish. He's mekel from anybody can eat better afterwards. Yeah, he's mekel on. Basar to chalav, a chalav to basar. He's mekel on waiting Yud Beis Chaydish by something that cannot be kashered. There you have a tziruf of the fact that shittas that hold that are china akli cheres are smooth and are not belaya. So with that tziruf, if it's just basar to chalav and it's yefshir to kasher, when I say it's yefshir, I mean you have a fleishik, a piece of china that's fleishiks. And fleshika set, and once somebody came and put hot cheese blints on it, so now it became a hot cheese omelet on it. Now it became milachik. Now it's a ben yaimai. It's possible chalav. It's treif. It's a ena ben yaimai. So it's not treif. Just the pot is at the same time milachiks and fleshiks. It's fleshiks. Let the gush was put on top. It was. Now it's a fleshika thing. It's also milachik. You can't use it for either one. So there, Ramesh is mekel to wait the 12 months, and with the tziruf of the klicheres shia. So for bali tshuva there, and by the dishwashers, Ramesh is mekel by dishwashers waiting 12 months. He says to buy a dishwasher lechatchila. He says not to. He says you're buying a house. A dishwasher comes with the house. See, he writes that if they'll deduct the price of the dishwasher if you give it to them from the cost of the house, you should do it. But generally, it doesn't work that way. And if you're getting the dishwasher, you don't have to throw it out. He says the racks you should kasher, and the rest of the dishwasher he's saymach on Yud Beis Chaydish and running the cycle. They cannot be kashered for Pesach. We kasher synthetics for all year round. We kasher synthetics for all year round. There are some echshem that don't, because Ramesh has a tshuva. He says we don't kasher synthetics, but the tshuva is written about Pesach, and Ramesh mepiashmua. It's printed, Rabbi Eider and others print Mipiv, that tshuva is only for Pesach. For Shari Sur, we do kasher rubber or plastic, and therefore the racks for the dishwasher could be kosher.
So that's the second issue.
They could have waited a year on that, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, machina. Yes, very much.
Does the waiting year also apply where you don't know what it was?
All right, there's a whole slew of tshuvas about people who inherit dishes and they don't know what it is, if it's fleshix, if it's milachix, what a person does. Pots sometimes, people ask me the shaila, sometimes they got from their baba, passed away, they left pots. So I told someone, can't you tell in which cabinet it's put? They say, my baba, she had one cabinet, she had a tiny kitchen, everything was in the same cabinet. She knew what was going on. So all kosher. So the things that could be kosher are kosher. The kalim, the china, so like I said, there are a number of tshuvas about it. Here it's a little better, it's a suffix.
Baba didn't use it for milk.
So Rabbi Kideger has a geshvakech chiddish, I'll tell you his chiddish. He says the following. We aser even if there are reasons to be makel by ene ben yaymei. Let's say it's a suffik milchik suffik fleishik. So it's 50-50. So it's a suffik hashakel. Beidrabanan, I would say it could be makel. We're not makel though, because it's a suffik hanisgalgal. That's the chiddush of that a suffik deraisish and isgalgal beidrabanan remains a suffik deraisa. In other words, if something is a suffix when it's a ben yaymai, and later on it becomes an ain a ben yaymai, so we don't say that we judge it as ain a ben yaymai. No, you go by the root of the shiloh. The shiloh is originally a shiloh when it's a ben yaymai. So you have to paskin out to ben yaymai and carry on from there. So here, Rabbi Kivega has a nice chap. It's a beautiful tshuva. It's the lam. It's near the beginning of the tshuva of Rabbi Kivega. He says, what's the svara of that a suffix rabbanish in the skagum b'dairaisa that such a shiloh should have a din of a dairaisa? He said there are two possible svaras. One svara is that when it was a ben yaymei, it got a shei misser. And a shei misser doesn't go off later on. The second shiloh possibility could be that it's a rule that you have to paskin at the moment of the suffix. And since you're paskin at the moment of the suffix, that carries through. So it's Rabbi Kivager. If you have a case where when it was a ben yaymei, there was no suffix. When it was a ben yaymei, the baba was alive. She was in the house. She was in the apartment. She knew when it was a ben yaymei what it is. So there was no suffix. And a shame Isser it didn't have, because we're not talking about Isser. We're talking about Basar Techalov. So Rabbi Kivager says, in such a case where it's Basar Techalov, there's no shame Isser. And when it was a ben yaymei, it wasn't a problem. So then he says we could judge it as a Eina Ben Yaima, a Safi to Rabbanan. And there, Rabbi Kivager is Mekel to be able to use, if something that can be kasha, to be able to use it. Rabbi Kivager says that, Laravcha de Milsi, you should kasha it, the china, by pouring hot water on it. It's only kashering through pouring. And Laravcha de Milsi, you kasha it in case the kashering works. Yes, some will require three kasherings for the baleta, but that's Rabbi Kivager's far.
So if somebody inherited not from grandparents that were not from...
Grandparents are not from is a major problem.
You call that kind of shogun, you wouldn't go, that's not kind of shogun anymore.
I don't think we'd be Michael. I once had, very interesting, I had a young man came back from Eish HaTorah, and he came to us, he stayed by Yash Shabbosis. You know, they all come back, they're sure they're going to make the family from... which usually doesn't happen. You know, halavai shouldn't go the other way. So he, his grandparents were from, his parents became fry, and now today he's a rav in Manhattan. But this is in the 80s, it was in my house, and Pesach was going to be the Yom Tif. His parents always felt for Pesach and made Pesach, and Pesach was going to be. So he came to, he kept in touch with us. So he said that his parents keep Pesach, but the problem is they don't keep fleishiks and milchik separate. They hold the Pesach and all the fleishiks and milchik. So he told them, see if you can get them to use paper plates, not use paper plates. His mother said, no, the Zaydas bought them Pesach plates, and they're using the Pesach plates. That's not negotiable. you know, something she has, the frumkeit she has from her parents, she doesn't remember. But this, that she knows. So he was very, very tzibrachin about it. He didn't know what to do. You know, it's trefa plate. It's almost a year, you know. It's almost your baseline. You know what to do. It's like Yeshua Hashem Keherafai. The parents, he showed us, he brought us the plates. We asked them, the plates are China. We assumed that China can be cash. They had bought them glass plates. They realized the kids don't keep a basa b'chol of flesh and milk, so the parents have bought them glass plates. I'm sure Shemayim, they were very happy. You know, glass plates, and it was already a cliche. I don't know how he made sure the food was kosher exactly with the pots, I don't remember. But the, I think the pots he kashered. But the plates, so that's what he was saying. The grandparents, yeah. Alright, Sivav.
What was the
The glass plates that he could use them. He was able to use the glass plates. It was certainly, if it was used as chaydish, it was good. But what?
Because it was glass.
It was glass. Glass would make it. So you could soak it in water and it would be able to do. Okay, we still have Sivav and Sivzayin, which I was hoping to finish today. I guess we'll do next week. I guess after next week, I'll try. Before we start, Kufhei is like the major simon in Taruvus. Everything we had till now with the basic, we didn't get Klirishin, Klisheni, Iroi, Death Cafe. So between when we finish the simon next week and the following week, I'll try to get Ravelsky here. Make a list of all the things we talked about, the coffee and the chocolate and all these things.